Thanks for listening to the Best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon on Fox Sports Radio.
Greetings and welcome inside the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
What's going on, my man?
If you want instant analysis from a big MLB trade that's about to happen, I'm going to send you to my dad, Walt Smith. The Yankees are set to acquire Joey Gallo from the Rangers. Joey Gallo's dead. They're getting Joey Gallo.
With a G, right?
You got Jerry Callo, C-A-L-L-O. We're keeping Joey Gallo. You're getting Joey Callo. The Yankees are set to acquire Joey Gallo for 6 minor leaguers, right? A huge deal for them. The Yankees are buyers now at the deadline. One of the best left-handed hitters in baseball. It's a huge deal for them. So if this is just coming down now here, the deal is pending a medical review, all of this stuff. I text my dad, who's on vacation in Syracuse right now, because, you know he's not up on things being on vacation. I said, hey,
sure,
you're getting Joey Gallo for 6 minor leaguers. His response to me was, great, that will definitely solve our pitching problems. You're getting Joey Gallo for a bunch of guys nobody's heard of. And, oh, yeah, what about our pitching problems? Like,
he is right. I mean, it does solve a massive issue that we discussed yesterday with John Paul Morosi, the fact that you are a team with one of the greatest right field porches in Major League Baseball history. I don't care how many damn ballparks have been knocked down. This one is perfect for left-handed hitters. And what do you got? You're bereft of them. And so what do? You go and grab him. And that's good. That's good. It's a good start. But Cashman, show me more.
Yeah, well, here's the thing, is that the Yankees, once they got to that which way do we go part of the season, started playing a little bit better. Now, look, clearly they're a long ways away from the division. Look, they're almost 10 games behind the Red Sox, but for the wild card, they're right there. You know, you're talking about being a game behind the second wild card spot, and okay, if we add some hitting and we start mashing the ball, we go back to the old Yankees philosophy. If we have one good starting pitcher who can pitch 3 games in a 7-game series, we will mash the ball the rest of the time and try to get there. And that's clearly their philosophy right now of, hey, we're going to go get Joey Gallo. We're going to be able to hit the baseball a little bit better, and we're going to wind up being a playoff team. Look, you're trading 6 minor leaguers, but there's a reason they're minor leaguers. You're trading 6 guys. I mean, it's a 6-for-1, which is insane because you don't really see that, but hey, you're getting Joey Gallo, who's 27 years old, is a great power hitter. This, I have to say, for a team I thought that was going to be a seller, the Yankees are buying. This is a really good move.
No, anytime. Look, we do this in every sport. You got your hallmark teams. We love to watch / hate them. And the Yankees are there. If the Yankees aren't involved in any of this, it's boring one way or the other. Because if they're selling, it's great, because then you're tearing down the behemoth that has been for our lifetimes, our parents' lifetimes. I mean, think about Walt, other than some bad Yankee teams in the early 70s. I mean, they've been there pretty much forever, at least as contenders. So now you have the opportunity, and I don't think there was anybody off that list that really moved the needle, right, in terms of prospects that folks said, ooh, like Duran and Pereira are guys whose names you know only if you really collect trading cards, which means you got a bunch of pre-rookie cards that Topps makes as soon as a guy signs a deal, basically. It's like, all right, there he is. And here he is in a Bowman set. So maybe you got excited about that, and now he lost his luster because he's no longer a Yankee prospect, because you know how that works. But it's you bring in a guy who's instant offense, and in theory, now you have the heart of the order that can mash. I just am curious to see what else they've got up their sleeves, right? Because we've had a number of teams where it seems they're on the fence. Are you in or are you out, right? Seattle yesterday. You trade away a couple of guys, and you get the get the clubhouse and everybody all salty, and then a trade falls through on the other side of the nation, and all of a sudden you swoop in like a vulture. Is this going to make you feel better? Is this going to make you feel better? You know, is that kind of thing. Like, please make this trade's got to help us, doesn't it? So it's going to be a lot of activity, and I love the fact that live and in living color, here we are to analyze it and mock what doesn't happen.
Six minor league players for Joey Gallo. This is how it's going to go. He's under team control for another couple of years. Look, you know, they got some prospects who are pretty decent prospects, but there's a reason they're prospects. You get a guy that's 27. He didn't trade for a 36-year-old guy that maybe you got another year or two. This was a really good move by the Yankees. He's going to stay for years. He'll be the new Mark Teixeira. He's going to stay and just hit home runs to that all the time. Boom, hey, we're good now. I'm good for the next 8 years. This was a really big move by the Yankees. And like, I got to give him credit. When it's the Yankees, it's a great move, even if my dad doesn't think so. So the first domino of the trade season is about to fall again. This is pending a physical from Joey Gallo, but it looks like this is going to happen. Meanwhile, today, if you can say the narrative flipped on Aaron Rodgers in a day, well, yes, we're going to say that. After you saw his 30-minute press conference answering questions about coming back, you know, finally returning to the Packers, getting assurances that he'll have more say over certain personnel decisions and he can maybe be traded after this year if he disagrees with everything. Watching this press conference, all I could see the entire time was him winning didn't happen. You can't say that he won after the press conference today, because all the things he talked about were all things that we knew about. He wanted a little bit more control.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. He even said today, are you going to get it? And he said, I don't know. Whoa, I thought the whole thing was you wanted more control. They traded for Randall Cobb today. Great. We'll trade a 6th-round pick for Randall Cobb. Is that going to keep Aaron happy? Great. That was his trump card? He wanted us to trade for Randall Cobb? I thought we were going to say he wanted us to go out and, you know, make a trade for DeAndre Hopkins. Oh, he wanted Randall Cobb? Yeah, we can do that. So he even says, I don't know if I'm getting the assurances I need. You know, can he leave after this year in a trade? Yes, they will look to trade me. All these things that the Packers are eminently okay with after this season. They're all okay with what's going on. If they wanted, this is what the Packers wanted. They wanted to draft Jordan Love. They wanted to push Aaron Rodgers out. They wanted to make Jordan Love the quarterback after a couple of years, give him some time to really learn because he was raw, just like they did with Rodgers learning under Brett Favre. And Aaron Rodgers, oh, I'm going to push the narrative up and off season, and boy, he had them on the ropes, and then he backed off. I'm going to come in, but I want some assurances. And the Packers, in the end, are getting exactly what they wanted. They're getting two more years out of Aaron Rodgers from the moment they drafted Jordan Love. They're getting two more years from Aaron Rodgers. They can trade him after this year if they want to. And the whole thing about influence, Rodgers says, I don't know if I'm going to get it. I mean, that's the Packers right now are saying, this is all we had to do. Now the dust is settled, and we understand that we won. Everything Aaron Rodgers did, where it looked so powerful, where, oh, he's going to be able to force a trade after this year. After this year, the Packers wanted to get rid of him anyway. So you use all this stuff with Rodgers, and after today, just watching him talk, I could just see the power. He got smaller on the screen. He was so big when it began, and then he got smaller, and sometimes he's a tiny voice. I couldn't even see him. He was just talking about, oh, I got the hands under control. We're going to get Randall Cobb back, and he's only going to be 24 years old at the end. You can't say that he won. And I'm looking at this going, the Packers are getting exactly what they wanted out of this. He played them for so long, but he backed off at the very end. And the Packers say, whew, boy, well, we were lucky he did that. And now they're getting everything they had hoped for from when they drafted Jordan Love. Now they're getting it. Aaron Rodgers, this is a big L for him. Even though he says, oh, I get this. When you can tell me you don't even know if you're getting the influence you want, what was that going to say, man? Yeah,
no,
you got your contract voided. They're getting out from everything. They're getting what they want. You're not getting it.
But that was my point the whole time. He wasn't going to win. Where was he going to go? They didn't want to trade him. Do they want maybe to break up? Sure. Once they know for sure that Jordan Love's ready to play. He was an insurance card. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. Everybody else can have theories about acrimony and hatred and everything else. All the venting he did today, and I saw across social media and all the headlines of, wow, he really let him have it. Okay, so he had a therapy session in front of a couple of microphones to talk about what everybody already knew, just like you said. We knew it, you know, wanted say and all this, and that's fine. And he still says he doesn't know what his future is after this year. It's still to be determined. So if they go out and have a great year, does he necessarily walk out the door? No. Right? I mean, the potential is still, because I don't hear them making any promises to Devontae Adams that they're not going to franchise him after the year. So, I mean, there's still so much that goes with it in terms of your window to win. Talking about, you know, getting people to come play with him and Milwaukee not being a selling point. Come on, man. You got to show some love to the people while you're there. You know, on one hand, telling people how much you love it and how much you love the community, and on the other, saying, "Hey, it's all about me here." You know, it's all about my. And I understand. You know, you want a little more input. You want a little more control. That's generally not how the NFL works. I mean, that's a rare commodity. I mean, even think back to, you know, Brady and the Patriots. And eventually, after 20 years, they were looking to move on. Because at some point, you're looking at the odometer going, yeah, I don't need to be on a cross-country trip and have my car die on me. And with Rodgers, you'd had injuries. You'd had a couple of, you know, mediocre seasons from a statistical barrage, and there was more balance, and obviously the touchdown to interception ratios we've talked about, QBR, all those metrics through the roof. But you know, when you're looking at 51 total touchdowns over 2 years, the question is he the guy you lean on anymore? And that was a question that people were asking. Was there going to continue to be fights about the offense, whatever? Well, something spurred him on to this fantastic season a year ago, the renaissance, the MVP, and now you try to flex. Well, here's the problem. You're playing the National Football League. You have a contract, and your flexing didn't really begin until everything had already been done.
No, and you know what? And that's the worst part.
Your timing sucked.
This happened now only because he couldn't get to his preferred destination, right? He could have gone to either Denver or the Raiders or the Dolphins, right? But apparently, that's not where he wants to go. So all because he couldn't get to his preferred destination, because the timing was bad, because he didn't play the trump card until the day of the draft. This should have all played out the beginning of February, right after the season was over, so teams can hit free agency and they can maneuver around to get Aaron Rodgers. But this all happened because he couldn't get to his preferred destination, because he wanted out. He wanted to go, but he wanted to go where he wanted to go. He wanted to be like Brady and pick his team, but he couldn't do it because he waited a little bit too long. And then when it came down to it, when he really could have thrown the hammer down and said, I want out, I can go to someplace pretty good, because you know what? Denver's a pretty good place to go, man. They got a lot of weapons there. Miami's becoming a pretty good team, man. That's a pretty big market. But that's not where he wanted to go. So all of this is because he couldn't figure out where he wanted to go, and now he's trying to spin all this, hey, all these concessions I'm getting into a win. And after watching him talk today, it was, no, dude, this is just spin control, man. You lost because the Packers got exactly what they wanted all along, and you didn't. And now you're trying to put a happy face on it where, hey, I'm just gonna, you know, I got this. You know, like we got Randall Cobb, and I'm excited, and I'm a... No, everything he says, I just look at it and go, you lost, man. You got to take the L. Aaron Rodgers, big L on your forehead. You got to take that L.
Yeah, and maybe behind the scenes he will get more influence. And if acquiring Randall Cobb, I heard so many people downplay. You know what? People like you want to work with people you like working with. You want to have a guy in the locker room that you trust. You know, beyond Devontae Adams, they got a lot of receivers that have potential, right? And you saw last year what he was able to do with them. Robert Tonyan becomes an 11-touchdown tight end out of the blue. But if you get him back, he doesn't need to reach Pro Bowl heights. Just needs to be a nice, steady, consistent third-down guy and a guy Aaron Rodgers likes. And for him, maybe that constitutes a win. All right, I got one of my guys back for one more run. And that's fine, right? And whatever the costs are, a six-round pick and money exchange, whatever, it's all fine and good. And if he goes in with a better frame of mind off it, great. If he's still pissed off, that got you an MVP season. And if he hadn't, you know, walked off the field and had flipped LaFleur off, called timeout, and fought to stay on the field, maybe you would have been able to have the tie instead of the field goal. Oh, I'm sorry. Did I put that on you, Aaron Rodgers? Let me put that. Is my mic on? You hear that?
Maybe he's getting some kind of the concessions he's getting is a discount at the concession stand.
Oh,
maybe
good.
That get the Aaron Rodgers discount. Maybe that's what he's getting.
Well, the discount double check that he loves so much in his celebratory touchdown dances.
Twitter right now about a Fresca. Mike at Swollen Dome. Yeah, just watching today, he takes the L after everything that went on today. It's like watching his power diminish as I watch the press conference continue to go, go, go. 877-99 on Fox. Jason Smith, Mike Harmon, Twitter at How About a Fresca, Mike at Swollen Dome. We will have more NFL on the way because there's one NFL player who I really want him to say exactly what he wants to say because what he's saying so far is not exactly what he wants to say. Confused? Don't worry. I got it for you. And oh, by the way, maybe one of the three most embarrassing moments of my professional career.
Ooh.
I have to tell that story coming up next because of what happened today. So if that's enough to stick around, I don't know what else there is. Keep it right here. Jason and Mike, Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
Yes, sir.
Shohei Ohtani, home run number 37 on the year for
37?
Shut up.
Wow.
Angels lead at 6-3 over the Rockies in the bottom of the fourth inning. There are many big NFL stories. We're going to get as many as we can right now with our next guest joining us on the hotline. He is a longtime NFL insider. He is the editor-in-chief at fansided.com. He is a Pro Football Hall of Fame voter, and he is a big-time best-selling author. His new book, Robert Saleh, Relentlessly Trying to Get Zach Wilson Under Contract, will come out any day now. Barnes & Noble, Amazon, wherever you buy books. It is Jason Cole. J. Cole, what's happening, my friend?
Okay, so under over on how many actual football stories we touch on in the next, 10 or 12 minutes?
3.5.
Ooh,
well, are we going to really?
Hot.
I mean,
I'm going under on that one.
Because so. You're going to spend the whole time making fun of the Jets being the only team to not have their quarterback under contract.
Well, considering the fact that this was their gigantic move and Zach's mom's got it going on and all of those things. That go with drafting a quarterback. What are you arguing about this for? Like offset language? I always love it when you argue about language in a contract in a preset system, right? It means you're telling the player, by the way, we spent all this fanfare and money and draft picks and all these things that we did to go get you. But we're not really sure that you're going to make it.
So,
so we're a little worried about what's going to happen 5 years down. Like, that's so Jet. I can't believe it.
They did the same thing. The same thing happened with Sam Darnold 3 years ago. He missed 3 days of camp because of offset language.
Moron. Look, and I know in the grand scheme of things, three days in camp doesn't determine whether you make it or whether you don't. But it is a bad way to start off a relationship or marriage, per se, with somebody who you think is going to be the face of your franchise and his mom, by the way. I love the groan every time you hear about Zach's mom and how she's got it going on. It's just like it's being killed with 1,000 paper cuts sounds. That's what it is.
The Jets can't have nice things.
No.
We can't have one day where we just make it easy. Oh, we're slotted for draft picks. Yes, right. Okay, great. But if
slotted,
we move on
slotted
from
system,
you,
standardized language. The only thing you're arguing about at this point in time is the long-term payoffs and the payback language at the end of the contract in case the guy doesn't make it. Yep, that's really smart.
No, and the thing is that it's not like the Jets are the only team that does offset language. Like 30 other teams do it, but yet they all find a way to get their draft picks in.
We're not the only ones who argue about this. You're the only ones who are stupid enough to draft a quarterback and celebrate him this much and talk about how you've got destiny, and then you decide, are you really going to make it? Are you going to be good? I'm not sure. I'm really not sure. I'm just not. I mean, you're quibbling over a couple of million dollars. Like, it's nothing in the grand scheme of the NFL when you're talking about over a five-year period of time. Over the next 5 years, the Jets are going to spend more than $1 billion. That's with a B. They're going to spend more than $1 billion on contracts. It's going to be closer to, like, $1.1 billion. And you are arguing over what amounts to about $2 million.
Jets going to jet, yo.
Right.
Jets going to jet.
Okay. Moving on.
All right. There's one.
My team is a laughing stock. This is what we. I exist.
Shall we go to Aaron Rodgers now? When do you want?
Let's go to Aaron Rodgers.
I just want you to know. I want you to feel better and appreciate me, J. Cole, because I exist as a Jet fan to make everybody else feel better about their teams.
Every terrible team. Look, you're a person who vacations in Detroit.
Yes, I do.
That says everything that we need to know. How many?
Right.
You go around Detroit, go Detroit Rock City. Yeah, did you do that? How many times?
With his cut off sweatshirt,
and I'm way. It's a way over. I'm so far under with 3.5. It's unbelievable how far you did it. At least 47 times. At least 47.
I did drive over 8 miles to get to work because I worked out of Detroit. I drove over 8 miles to get to work.
Did you pass by Motown? And
no,
say, Barry
no. Come on. Well, you know me. I went to White Castle. That's me. I go to Detroit so I can go to White Castle.
I heard that story last week. Got caught speeding to White Castle because you couldn't get there fast enough.
I'm so street, man. I got pulled over going to White Castle. I tell you, man, I have all kinds of street cred, man.
Detroit cops looked at you and go, really? You're from California? Like, they even asked what you were doing there.
Wait, I know this guy. He comes all the time. All right, so I guess we go and we talk to the Aaron Rodgers. What did he really win in all this, J. Cole? Because he's still under center with no guarantees, as best I can read.
Well, I mean, he gets out in a year. I mean, look, again, we've said it. You know, we talked about it probably 4 or 5 times.
Man.
Unless you're willing to go the distance, right, and do every hateful thing that you can possibly do to destroy your team, to get out of it and destroy the relationship with that team, you're not going to get everything that you want, okay? So you're going to be stuck. And the best thing that he got is he's, by all accounts, out after 1 year, all right? And if he's really out after 1 year, it's peaceable, okay? It's you know, make it work for one more year and grin and bear it. Well, you know, that's better than retiring and wasting a year and then having to go through this whole thing a year from now with them and play the, you know, go through the dance a year from now. But, you know, yeah, he didn't get exactly what he wanted, but he was never going to get that unless he publicly stood out in like the middle of the Jeopardy stage and said, Brian Gutekunst is a terrible human being who I can never work for again, and Matt LaFleur is second only to him. That's the only way he was going to get out. If he had said, as his part of his tribute to Alex Trebek, the late Alex Trebek, had said, I hate the Packers, that's the only thing he was going to do. And he wasn't brave enough to do that, and I don't blame him, because you don't need to ruin your legacy just because you're in a hissy fit with two people, and one in particular, but the other one you're not real happy with either.
Jason Cole, our guest, the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon, live from the Fox Sports Radio studios. All right, so while Aaron Rodgers is still trying to figure out what's next for him, we're seeing now the controversy of the anti-vax players in the NFL really start to rear its head. You know, Ron Rivera talked yesterterday. It's very frustrating. We want to get to 85%. Cole Beasley is the poster guy for this, saying, and we need more information. The information's out there. We want to be safe. The vaccines make you safe. All of these things. I said this last night, and I said it again tonight. You show me a player that doesn't want to get vaccinated, and I'll show you a guy who believes conspiracy theories. What do you make of all this, the anti vax stance from the players?
I don't think it's quite, I mean, look, I would say a significant portion of the guys who are not vaccinated, yes, they do believe that Fauci works for either Moderna or Pfizer. They really do. They believe that, and they believe that Fauci started this and with a home chemistry kit that he took over to China to work out in the streets of Wuhan. Right? Like those are the. That's the kind of stuff that we're talking about for a sizable portion of that. Some of them really do worry about what are they putting in their bodies, and I, you know, again, I don't blame them for that. But these are all individual concerns, and you play a team sport. I think we said this. I said it last week. You know, if you want to be part of a team and you want to be part of a collective that's trying to make money, you know, win games, make money, entertain people, get people to show up and watch you play. And B, trying to win a championship, which one of the 32 will do, you got to sacrifice at some point in time. You got to sacrifice for the greater good, which I wish more people in the United States understood that philosophy as well. But we are the land of the great individualist. So there you go.
And then we go down to Houston, where all eyes, and I saw pretty much every Houston scribe.
You're working
just
so
say,
hard to get over the over, aren't you? You're really trying to make the over.
No, it was all about watching number. I placed a bet.
Vaccines fast enough. Deshaun Watson.
Well, what else do you want me to ask about it? Are they going to get to a percentage? What's the over under on guys going to get fined? I mean, we could do that if we want.
Listen, Cole is just going to refuse to answer the question so we could stay under.
I was on the phone with my bookie.
We would get a push. Yeah, but we would get a push because this would be half a question. You not answering it leaves
it's
us
a
at a
filibuster.
Push.
They call this a filibuster. This is what the Republicans are going to do during the 1-6 investigation. Filibuster. Let's do this. Oh, let go. All right, Deshaun Watson, what's the question?
Philadelphia, we keep getting those reports of, hey, they really are looking at him. We're not going to get deposed until February. The NFL's not made any ruling on anything.
He's not testifying at the 1-6 investigation. Oh, that's right. It's a different thing. Sorry, I lost my mind for a second. Deshaun Watson was not in Washington, D.C. that day.
No.
I think Houston doesn't want to deal with this problem. And they've just – this thing has – they're realizing that this is a gigantic PR mess, which – it just tells you that, you know, the Jack Easterby, you know, fantastic journey, you know, Flying Jack's, you know, Happy Circus or what do they call it, you know, Jack, Crazy Jack's Flying Circus or whatever they call it. This is just a listless ship in the Gulf of Mexico waiting for the next hurricane to just destroy it, right, on the way to Houston. They plotted it out really poorly to maximize what he's worth, because now they're stuck with a problem that is ugly and smelly, and they got a distraction, and they've got a new coach, and like this team is headed, you know, they're headed for Jetland, okay? Like they're going to be 1-15 or 2-14. Like that's just what they're going to be, because they haven't figured out what they're going to do with this amazing asset who is worth so much to rebuilding this organization. And they've gotten a late start as a result of it. So, you know, they will eventually trade him. They'll probably get 3 ones or some version of that, and a 3 and, you know, some starting player, something like that. And, you know, they'll be lucky if they come out of this with that. And Deshaun Watson's probably going to sit some games during the season. Something else is going to happen. But some other team's going to have control of Deshaun Watson for pretty much the next 10 years. And that's a good thing. That really is. Because he's not going to miss the rest of his career because of this. I mean, it's tawdry. It's ugly. It's kind of disgusting. And it makes you think, what kind of common sense does Deshaun Watson have? But we've already talked about that evidently he doesn't have very much. But he can play football, and somebody's going to enjoy watching him play football for them, and it's not going to be the Houston Texans.
You can follow him on Twitter at JasonCole62. That is at JasonCole62. We got in 4 topics in the conversation, and you said everything you wanted to say about the Jets.
I have more.
You know what? Since we got in four topics.
Here's the bet.
Yeah.
You know, from since it's Olympics time and since we've got, you know, gymnastics and all these judged sports, right? Under, over on if you had five international judges, including, of course, the Russian judge, would they consider Zach Wilson, when it's all said and done, better or worse than Richard Todd?
Well, then.
Who is Richard Todd? Who is Richard Todd? Wasn't he one of Elizabeth Taylor's husbands? No, that was Mike Todd and Richard Harris. Richard Todd, quarterback for the Jets.
Richard Burton, too.
I still have not forgiven Richard Todd for the Mud Bowl. Just to let you know, I have not forgiven him for that.
Richard Todd is sort of the signature Jet of your lifetime.
He had good hair.
The only thing he ever did of note was take Steve Serby and, like, push him into a locker. That's all that he ever did.
That's how New York rolled, man. That's how.
I had no idea. Next time I see Steve, I'll have to ask about that.
His book, Elway.
Call Serby. He'll tell you all about it.
His book, Elway, A Relentless Life, available right now, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever you buy books. Jason Cole, Pro Football Hall of Fame writer, trying to keep all the Cowboys he can out of the Hall of Fame. J. Cole, as always, thank you, my friend.
I'm working on it. Later, bye.
See you, buddy.
There goes J. Cole. Oh, we did get four topics in.
I got my over. I wasn't going to end on the vaccination. It's like, all right, not that that's a much more positive story, but
the number of
people that are like, people are salivating to trade for Deshaun Watson. I'm like, really? Really?
Did you live bet during the interview of four topics, like in Vegas? Like, you know, we set the over under three.
Did
you live bet to try to get there?
You know, I've created some new channels of revenue for us and for the show. Some of it involves live betting because that really went against the grain. There's no chance anybody other than me would have taken the over on that. Now, obviously, I have somewhat perfect information as I'm helping to drive said conversation. But, you know, J. Cole's really good about going back and just taking the club back to the Jets instead of answering your question. In this case, he gave us an answer.
Yeah.
It was cogent, coherent argument.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Hey, it's me, Rob Parker. Check out my weekly MLB podcast, Inside the Parker, for 22 minutes of piping hot baseball talk featuring the biggest names and newsmakers in the sport. Whether you believe in analytics or the eye test, we've got all the bases covered. New episodes drop every Thursday, so do yourself a favor and listen to Inside the Parker with Rob Parker on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon.
Yeah, buddy.
And it hit me today, and I felt bad about it because I always feel bad when I say we're going to do something on the show and then we don't do it because, you know, breaking news happens or something goes on and we don't get to it. And I remember today going, oh, my, I don't know why it hit me. I just, oh, my God. I remember saying last night, I can't wait to talk about the huge Marvel thing, the Easter egg
saw. No, sure.
And I forgot to tell you. I'm like, oh, my God, I can't believe that. All right, so I'll tell you this before we get to Zach Wilson. So you watched Loki, and you know that the TVA was the big – I'm not spoiling anything. TVA is the – In the miniseries of Marvel is the portion that controls time and controls the timeline. And basically, Loki was set up as a miniseries to let everybody know that this is how we're going to deal with different multiple timelines in the Spider-Verse and the Multiverse of Madness and all these things. So one thing I noticed that Zoe showed me, she goes, Dad, look what I found. If you look at the logo for TVA, okay, the logo for the TVA, which controls time,
yeah.
If you flip it upside down, it says Val. Valentina Allegra de Fontaine.
Welcome back, Julia Louise Dreyfus. Go Cats.
Yes. And I started putting two and two and four and four and eight and all of these things together. And I'm wondering now if everything else that we thought, who's going to be the next big villain, who's going to out Thanos, because you can't really out Thanos. You can't give us another big CGI created, because Thanos was a phenomenal villain, right? Can you give us another one like that? It's going to be hard, right? Kang the Conqueror was okay at the end, but Julie Louise Dreyfus is one of the best actresses in the world. And getting her, look, a lot of that people want to be on in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, of course, but getting her is a huge coup. And I'm wondering if she's going to be the next big villain. And obviously, people would fight for her. You know, you're not going to see Julie Louise Dreyfus suddenly, you know, shooting lightning bolts out of her hands. But if she's going to be the next big villain and be the big power broker that we push, it's not going to be Kang the Conqueror or anybody else. It's going to wind up being Julie Louise Dreyfus, because you don't bring her in unless you're going to really feature her. You know, it's not going to be, well, we'd like you for this, but what kind of a role is it? It's kind of a small one. Yeah, not interested. Right? Like, I think it was Cate Blanchett who turned down a role earlier in Marvel because she said, I don't want to do it, it's too small a role. And they were like, what do you mean? And she said, oh, well, I know I'm only going to get one shot at being in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, so I want it to be a really big deal when it does come up. I think it was Cate Blanchett. It might have been somebody else that said, listen, I only got one shot at this. And so to bring in Julie Louise Dreyfus as somebody who's not going to be a main character, I'm like, nah, I don't know. But seeing that Val yesterday when Zoe showed me everything put together, and I said, oh, she's going to be the next big villain. She's going to be the one that's going to carry the next couple of movies or the next few Avengers type, Marvel movies.
Yeah, I know there was a lot of talk of when she was supposed to show up in the timeline in terms of what got taped or recorded taped. I'm old. But the idea or filmed would be the proper term and to where it would come into the timeline. Right, between Falcon and Winter Soldier, was it going to be in the next wide release film? All of those things. So it was a nice surprise when she did show up. But I love it, and I'll start Googling and figure out how many connections and 6 degrees of separation we could play. I don't know the comics well, so I don't know how monstrous how huge this character is. In terms of the big bad, except for putting things in motion. So we'll see.
Well, the thing is, she's a big cat, but there's so many characters. That's the thing about the Marvel Cinematic Universe. You can go to anybody. I mean, look, Doctor Strange, I don't know anybody that collected a Doctor Strange comic book and suddenly, hey, Doctor Strange is pretty popular. It's like Ant-Man was never popular, but, we're going to do Ant-Man. Okay, Ant-Man's out there. Like, they can make her into whatever villain they want her to be. But, and meanwhile, on the page, was it a great one? No, it wasn't a great, but easily, hey, Julie Louise Dreyfus, this will hit. Like, Thanos was no bigger a villain than anybody else in the Marvel comic books. Like, Galactus was a big villain. I'm such a nerd, right? Galactus was a big villain. Kang, you heard about all these different characters. But they decided now suddenly Thanos is larger than life, right? And now you can see them making this happen for Julie Louise Dreyfus as La Contessa Valentina Allegra.
Really cool is something that I found from the Topps archive to get all nerded out with the combination of comic books and trading cards. There was a Marvel set, a lot of stickers, but they also had comics that were like bazooka comics. Mm-hmm. And I was able to get a couple of the Masters. One of one original prints of them with the authenticity from Topps, which is funny because the guy that runs the local shop here in Southern California used to work at Topps. So I got a certificate of authenticity that has his signature when he worked at Topps, which is just funny. But they're just really cool. And they were Doctor Strange comic strips. Basically.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Some quote from Doctor Strange with something else. Like, there's a kid at the beach and he's got a metal detector. And then the second frame is going, it's just Iron Man laying in sand. That was one of them. I forget what the other one was, but they're kind of funny. Evidently, they've now gone up in value quite a bit in the last 2 years. So good job by me to find them. But, just to show, at some point, someone did care about Doctor Strange, whoever the creator of that particular set was.
Doctor Strange was like 60 years old in the comic books. I'm like, he's a guy with white hair. Why am I collecting Doctor Strange? It doesn't make any sense. It's too mystical. So, again, there's my big prediction for Julie. I'm full of big predictions tonight, but there's my next one, Julie Louise Dreyfus. So, Another story from the files of I exist and root for my team so you can feel better about yours. Every single NFL draft pick is signed and in camp except for one. One player still isn't signed, still isn't in camp because Jets are going to jet. Zach Wilson is still not with the Jets, who I believe had to have Ken O'Brien play quarterback during practice today because there is still a disagreement over offset language between Zach Wilson and the Jets. All right, now what is offset language? Basically, it's that teams, and many teams do this, they have a clause in for offset language in which if you cut a player before his contract is up and they sign a contract somewhere else, they don't want to be on the hook for that money. It's basically a player being able to double dip, right? So many teams have this offset language in their contracts. I think 30 of the 32 teams have offset language. Yet all of these teams have been able to come to terms with their quarterback or whoever they're taking for offset language, right? Trey Lance is the last guy. He signed today. He's not missing any practices. No. Zach Wilson missing the beginning of Jets training camp because of offset language. If this sounds familiar, it's because the same bleeping thing happened with Sam Darnold 3.5 years ago. He missed the first 3 days of camp because of offset language, because the Jets suddenly are the one team that can't figure out how to get the offset language done, that can draft a guy and say, you're our future, but boy, if you suck, we want to get our money back. That's the equivalent of signing your prenup on your wedding night. Hey, you know, I know we're going to get married, but we got to sign this prenup right now. But we're going to be together forever. No, I know, it's going to be great. And you and I are going to, it's going to be having an awesome life. But just in case, I want you to sign here. Yeah, but you're marrying me because you think we're going to be together forever. I know, and we are. And it's going to be great. And it's going to be awesome. But I kind of need you to sign this. So if I want to move on, I'm not stuck financially. The Jets can't figure out a way around it because the Jets jet, right? This is what I mean when I say teams can't escape their identity. Is it going to get solved soon? Yeah. Is it going to mean that suddenly Zach Wilson is not going to start week one? No. He'll be out a couple of days. And now that it's an embarrassing storyline, the Jets are going to have to get this done. So hopefully I'm doing my part to bring Zach Wilson in. You're welcome, Robert Saleh. But this shows you that there's unnecessary and knuckleheaded stuff that always happens with certain franchises. Every time you think, hey, maybe they've changed. No. They're still the knuckleheads that I know. It's like the friend you have that you think, oh, maybe he has changed his ways and now he's going to be a more, you know, a better guy and a better boyfriend to his girlfriend. No, I saw him out the other night having drinks with some girl. Oh, same old dude. Same old Harmon. That's all he's done his entire life. I mean, this is what the Jets do. Every time you think they turn the corner, no, we're going to find a way to make things as difficult as possible, including having our franchise quarterback that we have drafted to say, you're our guy. You're going to bring us championships. You're going to get rid of the curse of Joe Namath. But just in case you don't, we need your money back. How have they not figured it out? Because they're the Jets. It's how they do things. And this is the first day Robert Saleh is realizing, this is the team I came to work for. I was so sought after by so many different teams. I could have gone anywhere I wanted to, and I went here to a team that can't figure out getting our quarterback in that we drafted. This is why I exist, so you can feel better about your teams. Jets gonna jet.
Yeah, while we mock the Jets, though, the fact that this remains an issue at all for any team, and in this case, obviously, just the Jets, is laughable. Because you're basically saying, we picked you, but we really don't trust you. Which is fine if it's pick 15. Now we can fight a little bit. Or pick 20. Pick 2 in the draft? This is the guy you decided amongst all others was going to be the guy? No, it makes no sense. Pay him the money, guarantee the money, and move forward. You know, start the next iteration of this squad, especially because you are trying to get the taste of Sam Darnold out your mouth, right? You don't want to talk about what went wrong with the coaching staff, communication with him, whatever else. Just you want to excise that as best you can. And to start this way, again, even if it's only a day or two, in the lifespan of a rookie coming out of the year that you just had, don't you want to accelerate things as best you can? Right, where you actually get to meet on a field and go through and try to have progress, because you don't have the same number of preseason games to get it right either. right? That part of the equation's gone too. So you need to get as many reps and as much language and continuity as you can. So every day lost is actually magnified now and makes your organization look that much worse. Welcome back.
I'm telling you, the Jets are always going to jet. They're always going to do this. And it's like, you know, just when you think, okay, now they can't screw. They're still in the honeymoon period. No. We're going to upset our quarterback with the whole offset language thing. We're going to do this because we're the Jets, and this is how we operate. You make it easy for us. No. I want to find a way to make it really difficult. I could say, I'm going to draw you a map to a pot of gold, and I'm going to put the pot of gold 20 feet from you, and here's a map from where you're standing. I'm going to draw a straight line with an arrow that ends at the pot of gold. The Jets would go, I'm taking your map, I'm ripping it up, I'm turning around, and I'm walking in the other direction. That's what the Jets do. This is how they do it.
Sorry, buddy. It's a phenomenon that until the Johnsons are no longer in charge of your squad, no matter how much progress you make in terms of your front office and saying, we got the right football guys in, business guys still suck. But they don't, because they're smart enough to have gained ownership of the team and to collect all that revenue. So, you know, you have that double-edged sword. It's like, it's really bad on the micro, but on the macro, train keeps moving.
America. So it was an hour ago when we talked about the big goings-on in college football the past few days, right? That every day something off the rails happens. And if college football doesn't get a commissioner in place and someone who can make the rules for college football, the sport is going to continue to spiral out of control into oblivion and be the absolute mess that it's been. From name, image, likeness controversy to not having more teams in the playoffs, that's been a big deal. Oklahoma and Texas changing conferences. The story tonight about Quinn Ewers, a high school player in Texas who wants to skip his final year of high school so he can go right to college and make name, image, and likeness money. To the Big 12 accusing ESPN of pushing teams to go to the SEC, where ESPN owns the SEC network. This is why college football needs a commissioner, because it's being run by power brokers and commissioners who don't care for anything but their own conference. Can't have it. Got to have some kind of leadership. Well, this from Dennis Dodd, longtime CBS college football insider, who just put up that the Big 12 and Bob Bowlesby, who is, you know, has had some great stuff today from ESPN, is trying to steal our teams too. The Big 12 now believes the American Athletic Conference is trying to take all 8 remaining members of the Big 12. This story coming up soon by Dennis Dodd, but this is what Bob Bowlesby told CBS Sports. The American Athletic Conference is trying to take everybody else from the Big 12. So they want Oklahoma State, they want Texas Tech, they want everybody to join Cincinnati and Houston and East Carolina and Navy and South Florida. You need a commissioner. It may be too late, but it's never too late to try. You need somebody to stop, because you look like Major League Baseball in the early 1900s, who needed a commissioner to stop the power brokers and other people from their own personal interests from ruining the game. This is just a story tonight. I mean, think about what the last 2 weeks have been in college football, and nobody can stop it because nobody is in charge. It really is insanity in a sport where it's exciting, because when you think about things like, well, playoffs and this, and now you have the added headaches every single day of what we've seen the past couple weeks, and conferences won't be the same. You need a leader. You need something. You need some kind of power structure, because other than that, something like this is going to happen. I think the Big East Football Conference will probably come back and bring everybody else back by the time we get off the air tonight. Who knows what's going to happen?
Oh, I love it. All the lawsuits that are going to be filed. Dodd also had that report about the land grant. 99-year agreement. Let's see how that tries to get involved. I mean, there's so much going on with this. It's such great theater. And really, it goes back to a conversation we've had so long as we've been on this show, talking about college football, and we have these big stories, but on a day-to-day basis, we're talking about the regionalization of the sport. And here it is once again. You'll have the conferences that continue to play in relative anonymity, and then the one or two monster super conferences with all the name brands associated. That's where we're headed. And we'll see how many other conversations get played out in social media and recruiting videos, get to famous alumni. Hey, don't you want to join us? Remember, you know, remember this movie I was in? Come on, you can hang out with me. I mean, that's part of the draw and attractiveness of bringing Texas and Oklahoma. Not the, you know, minister of culture and all, but just the idea that you've got these large alumni bases, giant cash, giant piles of cash to be made, and the television network that you already have a deal with if you're ESPN. So, yeah, I can't wait for the discovery process to hear about, you know, what they found and what they've got documented versus hearsay, rumor, conjecture, and allegations of it all. But in the end, is it good for the overall game? I don't know. You get elite, so it's like a mini NFL kind of work in here, and then the rest is college football. Is that what we're looking at? Where it's, you know, this. But in the end, I do think only Greg Sankey can save you, because he's the guy that has all the keys. He worked stealth. I mean, you brought up Julia Louis-Dreyfus as a potential power broker and master of this Marvel universe going forward. I say Sankey probably can eclipse her.
Always ask yourself, is this good for the company? Remember, that's, well, it's a jump to conclusions, Matt, and you always ask, is this good for the company?
Always a question of perspective, right? Is my school winning in this process?
Twitter at How About a Fresca, Mike at Swollen Dome. This is just going to happen to college football until they bring in their own Kennesaw Mountain Landis, who can start running things and stopping all the insanity. Maybe they need, what's her name? They need Susan Powder. Stop the insanity. Stop the insanity. Come in and do it.
Wow. Well, insanity. We're talking about pitchmen and you bring Susan Powder in. Wow. Nicely done.
That's when she comes in and just says, stop the insanity. And they fix college football.